276. Guide us, O thou great pilgrims through this barren land. We are weak, but thou art mighty. Hold us with thy helper, bread of heaven. It is now 276.
Thoughts coming to me from chapter 10 of John. Just would suggest that, but I'd like to have someone else have fellowship with God too in your mind, heart.
Is that the 10th of John? That was said. John 10. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheep. dressed up some other way, the same as a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, goeth before them, the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them. Then said Jesus unto them again, Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not, but to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, that they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is an hireling, and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming, and leaveth the sheep, and fleeth, and the wolf catcheth them, and scattereth the sheep. A hireling fleeth, because he is an hireling, and careth not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so I know the Father, know I the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring. They shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life, that I may take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. Was division, therefore, again among the Jews for these sayings. And many of them said, He hath a devil and is mad. Why hear ye him? Others said, These are not the words of him which hath the devil. Can a devil open the eyes of the blind? And it was at Jerusalem, the feast of the dedication, and it was winter. And Jesus walked in the temple in Solomon's porch. Then came the Jews round about him and said unto him, How long dost thou make us to doubt? Thou be the Christ, tell us plainly. Jesus answered them, I told you, and ye believe not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. But ye believe not, because ye are not of my sheep, as I said unto you. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. Then the Jews took up stones again to stone him. Jesus answered them, Many good works have I showed you from my Father. For which of those works did he stone me? The Jews answered him, saying, For the good work we stone thee not, but for blasphemy, because that thou, being a man, makest thyself a God. Jesus answered them, Is it not written in your law? I said, Ye are gods. If he called them gods unto whom the word of God came, the scripture cannot be broken. Say ye of him whom the Father has sanctified and sent into the world, Thou blasphemest, because I said I am the Son of God. If I do not the works of my Father, believe me not. If I do, though ye believe not me, believe the works, then ye may know and believe that the Father is in me and I in him. Therefore they sought again to take him, but he escaped out of their hand, and went away again beyond Jordan to the place where John first baptized, and there he abode. And many resorted unto him, and said, John did no miracle, but all things that John spake of this man were true, and many believed on him there.
God connected with the Good Shepherd. And says in the fourth verse, they know his voice. Trust most of us, if not all, have heard his voice calling us to himself, come unto me. Those of us who have come, found him to be a wonderful shepherd, a wonderful savior, a friend, one who keeps, one who restores, one who strengthens, one who feeds. I'd like to compare that with a thought from 1 Peter chapter 5. Verse 1, the elders which are among you I exhort, whom I'm also an elder and witness of suffering in Christ, and also partaker of the glory that shall be revealed to feed the flock of God and among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of ready mind. Rather being lords over God's heritage, but being ensampled of the flock. When the chief shepherd shall appear, he shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not. It's all in my heart that we heard the voice of the Lord calling to himself. Surely he is one who draws us. But if we're given the privilege of speaking for him, and then speak of the oracle of God, if the Lord has given us any measure of ministry and encouragement for others, this is my question to my own heart when they hear my voice, my tone of voice, what I'm saying. Are they hearing again?
So you know this chapter speaks about the shepherds, the sheep, the good shepherd, and perhaps sometimes it's easier to look at the divisions in there, just be reminded that the first five verses speak about the shepherd and the sheep, and then verse 6 to 20 or perhaps 21 on, it tells us about the characteristic of a good shepherd. So there are shepherds, there are sheep, and there are good shepherds. You know, Brother already mentioned that the sheep hear the voice of the shepherd, don't they? You recognize it. And you can imitate, but you know, because sometimes we'll go, do we know the shepherd's voice? We do. We see that with children. Some of you have children, and many here have grandchildren, and you know children. When they see you, if they know you and see you, they come running to you. When a stranger comes, they won't even smile. They will run away, won't they? Do they say the same thing? Perhaps, but they know the voice of the one they can trust.
But it says in verse 5, a stranger may not follow, but will flee from him, and they do not go to strangers.
It's interesting.
Not following and fleeing are different things, aren't they? Go ahead.
The chapter actually begins very differently. This chapter begins by speaking about a door. not the shepherd itself. That was the first thought that it begins with. It says, verily, verily I say unto you, he that enter not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. So there is only one proper way the Lord recognized this good shepherd coming in. Good shepherd come in by the door. And perhaps I would even be able to expound what this door is.
The Lord Jesus had all the credentials to present himself as the promised Messiah, the legitimate king, and the one who could establish a rule of righteousness and peace and really take care of his flock in Israel. He had all the credentials. He had all that was necessary to come in and be recognized as the one that legitimately could take up the kingdom and take care of the flock.
I stand corrected in saying this. I believe the door is just that, isn't it? It's the Old Testament prophecy concerning about the Messiah who's going to come. So that's the door for anyone who can show that they can fulfill what the Word of God has promised to deliver his people. And that's the door. Because throughout the Old Testament, we find that they were looking for Messiah. They were looking for a deliverer that can take them out of their circumstances. We know that they have had different deliverers. We see in the book of Judges, they have various deliverers. We see Moses was a deliverer, but there is a greater deliverer that can deliver them from their sin and take them away and to be his father's house. So this one, and this the only one coming through by the door, meaning through the Word of God and recognized by the Word of God as the shepherd. In fact, if we look at the following verse in verse 2, it actually go on and explain to us that in verse 2 it's here, but he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. And then in verse 3 we find another phrase that's not connected to the shepherd immediately. Then we find the phrase of a porter. So we have the door, and now there's a picture of a porter, and to him the porter openeth, and the sheep heareth his voice. Porter seems to be a very humbling job, isn't it? We perhaps don't see a lot of porter in today's terms. If some of you still take the train or the buses or sometimes at the airport or even in some hotel, they have porters. They are the ones that help you carry your baggage to get you inside. Porter in the Old Testament time, too, was a very important job of the temple. They were the one to keep people, they guide people in and to keep certain people out as well, don't they? So the porter, I believe, here speaks of the Spirit of God. That the porter, the Spirit of God, is the one that helped the sheep to hear his voice. And that's how we know the Father's voice, the Spirit of God.
And so the thought also of seeing John the Baptist as one had been sent to prepare the way of the Lord. And so when the Lord Jesus comes, there is already a formation of a flock of sheep there of Israel who have repented and have recognized that they're not, the nation is not in a condition that is convenient for their Messiah. And so they're repenting.
And so they kind of set aside. The Lord Jesus comes, and he associates with them. And John the Baptist submits, you might say, to the instruction of the Lord, and associates the Lord with those ones too. There's the same verse 1, there's thieves and robbers. You might think they're equivalent, but I believe, you know, there is a different meaning in the words in the Greek. I would like to receive more on that, but I believe one has to do with violence, connected with taking it with violence. And so the thief comes in at night, he robs something and he takes it away, but he gets hurt. But the robber, it will stop at nothing to get a hold of what he wants. And so there were those who wanted to have that place in Israel, and they were usurping, either with taking something that wasn't there, or violently taking that. And none of this character would be in association with the Lord. He was a rightful heir, and there was no violence with him.
First 5 verses of the chapter gave us a lot of different images, or perhaps different examples here. We mentioned some already, but as you read through the verses, you see a lot more. So we began by talking about the door. We talked briefly about the sheepfold. Brother just mentioned about thief and robber in verse 2. How the shepherd is the shepherd of the sheep coming in through the door. In verse 3, we talk about the porter. And in verse 3, 2, there is his own sheep. And then there's still more examples as we go on, as it tells us how the, in verse 4 there, he said, he goeth before them. That's an interesting character of the shepherd for his sheep, as he goes before them and the sheep follow his voice. He's not a commanding person, he goes before them. I remember hearing someone talk about the United States Armed Forces versus the Israeli. He said there are big differences. He said, and perhaps I hope I'm not speaking out of turn, or do I disrespect some here. The way I understand it is, that in the United States, when you have your armed forces to attack, usually the commanding officer or the leader will tell the followers what to do. They tell them to go ahead. This way, the officer who's in charge would always be protected. So let the other guy go first, because if someone is shooting, let them shoot the little guy first. The leader gets to be protected. In Israel, they say, no, the leader always say, follow. And it's a picture of the shepherd, isn't it? The shepherd leads. He does not herd them into the directions that they want to go. He leads them, and that his own sheep will follow them. And then while we're at it in verse 5, there's another phrase or another word, stranger. Stranger. And it knows that stranger. The sheep here do not follow a stranger. And it recognizes the shepherd's voice. It will recognize the stranger's voice.
This shepherd is his persistence in caring for those that are his own. The Lord Jesus, it says, came unto his own, and his own received him not, right from the first chapter of this book. But he still goes about in the chapters that come before this, and he presents himself to Israel. He does the things that we've been talking about. He comes in, he takes the 5 loaves and 2 fishes, and he spreads them, and he feeds a giant multitude. He presents himself as that bread that had come down from heaven. And he does the miracle at Cana of Galilee. And as we were just talking about, he presents himself with all those characteristics that the Old Testament scriptures had said the Messiah would have. He presents himself wonderfully. And not only does he present himself wonderfully with his works, he presents himself wonderfully with his words, what he says to them, and he's rejected. He's rejected over and over and over again in the chapters that come before this. And how many of us, when we go to do something for somebody and they don't seem to appreciate it, maybe we try a second time, or a third time, or a fourth time, but when we've been rejected often enough, we kind of give up and we walk away. Because it hurts to be rejected, it hurts to be turned away from. But the Lord Jesus didn't do that. Throughout the preceding chapters, he finds individuals and he presents himself to them, and they're attracted to himself. And now he's getting close to where he's going to go to the cross. And so he comes to this sheepfold, Israel. And he goes in. He's presented himself as the Messiah. And he's been rejected over and over again. But there are some, as was said, the porter, the Spirit of God, takes those scriptures. There's some that are attracted to his person. And they're sprinkled through the chapters that come before this. They were attracted to him. They heard his voice. The Spirit took the word. They put it planted in their heart. And now the shepherd takes them out of that sheepfold, and he's preparing them. They didn't understand it here, but he's preparing them for what would come ahead. Verse 6 says, "This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what they were, not what things they were which he spake unto them." In the chapters that are ahead, you can see the disciples don't really understand what the Lord's saying to them, but he tells them anyway because they were going to understand. They were going to receive the Spirit of God in their hearts, and it would make sense to them in the future. And so here he is. He's planting in their hearts truth that would help them to understand in the future. We have a wonderful shepherd, and maybe in our own lives we've been resisting his work in our hearts. We've done it over and over. Over again, he's still at work, and he's still at work in each one of us, and he still wants to draw us out to himself, and he's still planting things, maybe at this conference, and we'll have things planted in our hearts that we don't understand yet. They're strange, they don't make sense, but it's in there. It gets into the head at least, and maybe it rattles around a little bit in the heart. It might be something the Lord uses in a week, a month, a year. But he's that persistent shepherd. And here at this point, he's going into that sheepfold and he's drawing his people out after himself, after his own person, away from that protective wall that kept them hedged in. And now he's going to be the person to keep them safely as they follow him.
That is actually very good to connect that to the previous chapter. Chapter 10 is really an extension from chapter 9. It talks about the sheepfold here, I believe, is very Jewish in character. So no Christians are in this fold as of this point. So if you remember in the previous chapter, there was that blind man that testified for the Lord Jesus for saving him. And because of that, they cast him out of that Jewish sheepfold. Forward as if it were. They rejected him. So the Lord now is bringing these folds, these Jewish folds as if it were, together under the sound of his word through the guiding of the Holy Spirit. So that's why later on you'll find in the chapter there in verse 16, I believe, he talked about that they shall be one fold. It actually, before that, it said, other sheep have I, and that they shall be one, fold. And really, I believe the proper translation is they will be one flock. that he is going to bring all Jews and Gentiles later on together as that one flock, isn't it?
Somebody has remarked that this was a fold in a flock. You could put the fold with the inside a fence, and the fold was in the fence. The shepherd might not be there. But the flock, you're going to find the flock, you're going to find it where the shepherd is. So the flock has a center in the shepherd. Well, the fold had a fence, you might say, things that they could not do or could do because they were under the law. And as you mentioned, verse 16, in the French we have one flock at the end, verse 16. It goes from one fold to a flock.
That phrase used in particularly in verse 3, he knows his own sheep. The Lord recognizes each one of us as individual as well, isn't it? Yes, collectively we are being recognized too, but he knows us as an individual, each one of our own. He knows who you are. He knows your hearts. He wants you. And he guides and directs you to the Spirit of God that he may be into this all together with him, that we all may be one as he is, as they are one.
The Lord speaks of those that have come before. Perhaps such a character that we find in Ezekiel 34. It's a good chapter to read, to listen to the Lord's reproof, you might say, of the shepherds of Israel. And it would be a word to our hearts, too, to be careful not to develop any of those characteristics that were found in them. We read in 1 Peter 5, not lording over the flock, but being examples. So Ezekiel 34, read from verse 1, and the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say unto them, Thus saith the Lord God unto the shepherds, Woe be to the shepherds of Israel that do feed themselves. Should not the shepherds feed the flocks? Ye eat the fat, ye clothe you with the wool, ye kill them that are fed, but ye feed not the flock. The disease have ye not strengthened, neither have ye healed that which was sick, neither have ye bound up that which was broken, neither have ye brought again that which was driven away, neither have ye sought that which was lost, but with force and with cruelty have ye ruled them. And they were scattered because there is no shepherd, and they became meat to all the beasts of the field, and they were scattered. My sheep wandered through all the mountains and upon every high hill. Yea, my flock was scattered upon all the face of the earth, and none did search or seek after them. Therefore, ye shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. As I live, saith the Lord God, surely, because my flock became a prey. My flock became meat to every beast of the field, because there was no shepherd. Neither did my shepherds search for my flock, but the shepherds fed themselves and fed not my flock. Therefore, O ye shepherds, hear the words of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God, Behold, I am against the shepherds, and I will require my flock at their hand, because I caused them to cease from feeding the flock. Neither shall the shepherds feed themselves any more. For I will deliver my flock from their mouth, that they may not be meat for them. We could read the rest of it, but there's enough in there to challenge every one of us to that desire of the Lord for the well-being of his sheep, to feed them, to watch over them, to heal the sick, to encourage the weak, and so on.
So we mentioned the first five verses. We saw all these basic connections with the sheep, with the dangers, with the problems and difficulties, with the protection from the Spirit and so on. Now, verse 6 on, and perhaps to verse 16, now we will see how the Good Shepherd actually works to help the sheep and to restore the fold in his way. So it begins by saying saying that in verse 7, I am the door of the sheep. To enter into this fold, there is only one way, one door. As the Lord said in another place, he said, I am the door, by me if any man enter in, he shall be saved. There are no back doors, there are no side doors. Although some, as we already learned that, will try to come in through other ways, but now the Lord Jesus showing us the door in a different picture, that he is the door, and anyone else, as is repeated here, coming in otherwise, are thieves and robbers.
So this shows a wonderful pattern in the book of John. Throughout the book of John, there's a connection between the Word and the person. From the very first verses, we hear in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and we find it speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ. In verse 2, it says, but he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. We were speaking of that earlier in the Old Testament scriptures. There's the door being used as a figure of the scriptures. But in verse 7, the Lord Jesus says, I am the door of the sheep. Now he's talking about the way of entrance, as was just mentioned, into the flock of God. But he's the person. He, the person, is that door. And so throughout the book, they're blended in his person. His word and his person are so intimately connected. They're so consistent with one another that it's as though they were one single thing. And here, we get just a little figure of it. The door being used twice, once for the scriptures, once for the person.
It says, by me, if any man enter, he shall be saved. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Trusting the person of the Lord Jesus, putting your trust in him as the example of the door. You come in. Well, all that's in that room and all that's been provided through the entrance there is all yours, whether you realize it or not. And so those that trust in the Lord Jesus might not know the fullness of what he has done, accomplished for them through his death. The good shepherd giving his life for the sheep. And through his death and resurrection, he has assured the feeblest believer of an eternity of bliss with him in glory. He has seated them in himself in high places on the basis of a small faith in a great person. I enjoyed that very much because, you know, as we read the scriptures, we found out more and more about the Lord. I know a dear young brother, he was out at fellowship supper and he heard different brothers speaking. He said, tonight I really, really got saved. But I really felt that what he really laid hold of was what he had all the time that he didn't know. Now he was enjoying it. Because he had trusted in the Lord, but he didn't know. He wasn't comforted in the scriptures. That's what the scriptures do. They assure us of what the Lord is, who he is, and what he's done, and all the results of this for us. It's wonderful to just sit and hear what the Spirit of God will teach us concerning the person and work of Christ, and the results for us once we come in the door.
I was thinking of the well-known passage, the two on the road to Emmaus. We know that they were discouraged. It's interesting to know that these two, they know everything that should be known to them. They knew that it ought not Christ to have suffered, and they didn't believe that. And they have witnesses. They knew that some of them saw the resurrection, but they walked away sad. They didn't believe it. And I thought, are we not like that? We are like those sheep that sort of go, yeah, well, it's easy for you to say. It's easy for you. No, it's not, is it? Let's turn to that Luke chapter 24, just for very brief moment. How the Lord encouraged them. Now, you know the story, so we're not going to read the whole story. I'm thinking more of how the Lord said to them. Now, remember when the Lord walked up to them, they didn't recognize him. In fact, they thought there was a stranger coming into town there. So, in verse 25, the Lord said to them, then he said unto them, O fools, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. We just mentioned that the door of the Old Testament prophets concerning Christ. So here, he's speaking to them the same way, calling them fools. He said, all the things that you really would have known, but you didn't. Verse 26, ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? That's a very fundamental principle, isn't it? That the suffering comes before the glory. He reminded them that they should know. And the Lord spoke to them many times that he's going to suffer and then glory. And when we walk with him, we have the same treatment in this world too. But how did he encourage them? Verse 27. And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. Now, it's a very short verse there, but I think it's a very loaded verse. Beginning at Moses. So, can we perhaps look at it and say, the book of Moses, perhaps the Pentateuch, the five book of Moses? Can you picture the Lord himself sharing with them, showing them how the five books of Moses concerning himself? And then all the prophets. We go through the prophets, the book of the prophets, didn't we? The Old Testament. And all the scriptures concerning things concerning himself. So he showed them from his word, and they do die unto the village, and so on. Let's just go down for time's sake. In verse, the end of 29, and he tarried with them. And I think that's the shepherd, isn't it? That he's there with them. He stayed with them. And he sat and had meat with them, he had fellowship with them. And here's the result when someone is having the word of God before them, having the Lord with them, going over his word, is the result in verse 31. And their eyes were open, and they knew him. And then he vanished all of a sudden. Isn't it wonderful when we go through scriptures, when we go through things about the Lord Jesus, especially concerning himself and having fellowship with him? There, their eyes were opened, and they knew him. And they knew too, as you read down the chapter, instead of running away from Jerusalem where they ought to have stayed, they headed back to the place where they ought to.
In verse 45, it's the same chapter, and they then opened their understanding. They might understand the scriptures. So we haven't seen the Lord ourselves, but he surely has opened our understanding, hasn't he, in the scriptures, that we might see the things concerning himself. Just going back to our chapter for a moment and comparing verse 11 and 12. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But, compares verse 12, but he that is an hireling, and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming and leaveth the sheep and fleeth, And the wolf catch it then and scattered the sheep. The hireling is in there because there's something for him. There's a reward, a salary. But when there's a price to pay beyond what he's willing to invest, he just runs away. What about the Lord? They came to get him in the garden. And he said, if you seek me, they all fell back there. And he said, if you seek me, let these go. All the others were left. He went forward there. And what was there in that for him? Oh, the suffering of the cross and the glories that will follow. And that hasn't been manifested in fullness yet, but every mouth's going to confess, every knee's going to bow. This world is going to be subject to that wonderful shepherd who gave his life. And we, as believers now, those that are his sheep, we have the privilege now. We have the privilege and to give the Lord joy in owning him and worshiping him and recognizing what he's done and mentioning to him and the Father the enjoyment that we're finding and what he is and what he's done and what he's made us to be and what's coming for us. That even tonight we could say, even so, come Lord Jesus. We're going to see him face to face. We're going to be with him and like him for his joy. He's going to rejoice over Israel with singing, and surely he's not going to rejoice any less over us. Not the hireling that does the scattering, it's the wolf. And so Satan, if he has an entrance, because we have wrong motives in being active among the Lord's people, Satan can use that and lead the saints away on wrong paths and be abandoned there to be at the mercy of the enemy. And, you know, we can have hindsight and look back at what has happened to so many groups of saints, and even among ourselves. And it's not to bring back past faults, but just to be concerned right now that those things that happened in the past are not going to happen again because of our carelessness.
It's interesting, too, when you mentioned verse 13 there about the wolves. We know when a wolf comes, in today's term, into a flock, it's not there to scatter. Wolf is to come to kill and to eat what they can kill. So we find here that it says, verse 12 there says, the wolf comes and it scatters the sheep. It doesn't kill. Why? I don't think it can, because here is speaking about the Lord Jesus. Here's another way for us to know that we have, when we are his, we have eternal life. So as much as the power there is that could come to kill, which is the characteristic of a wolf, all it can do is to scatter. So if there's anyone here perhaps still in doubt about eternal life, this chapter is very interesting. It tells us more than in different ways that once we're saved, we're his. No man can pluck it out of his hand. No man can pluck it out of his Father's hand. So here, the example that when the wolves came, it didn't do any killing. The Father scattered.
Time is up, brother.
Just the first verse of hymn number 40, verse 1 only.
The great Lord.